The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Very good. Thank you, Mrs. Cavanaugh. As secretary here, does a great job in all that she does. Appreciate that. And of course, many things she does and does a super job of that. I'm going to ask you to do something for my sake, if you will. We've had quite a bit of people moving around a little bit. And if we can, I'm going to preach to you for about 35 minutes. And that's going to be about it. So if you can kind of stay in your seat, that would be healthy. Healthy for me, because I won't forget where I'm at and have to start all over again. Then it turns into an hour message. And then I forget again, it turns into an hour and a half or 2 hour message. And of course, it helps others too, as you do not distract from the message. And so, you know, it's kind of funny. We can sit and watch a movie for 2 hours and never get up to go to the bathroom. But in church, sometimes we just got to go every 10 minutes. And so just kind of hold on a little bit and kind of retain your integrity as you sit there. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7, where the Bible says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, how do we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Well, we have to recognize some things. He says in verse 4, he says, there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope, it says, of your calling. Now, we understand this. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So what's that mean? That means that God is not going to change his mind about his will for your life. Okay? The Bible also reminds us in verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The Bible says in verse 6, one God and the Father of all. It says, who is above all? It says, and through all, it says, and in you all. Now again, this is talking to a local church, the church at Ephesus. So it's talking to believers as he's explaining the doctrine of Christ and also, if you will, the grace of God as he gets into it in verse 7. The Bible says, but unto every one of us is given the grace according to the measure, it says, now watch what it says, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So inside of Christ is that which is the grace of God. Now, we get saved by grace. We also live by grace. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. All right, so it is by grace through faith that we get saved. But we also understand that we get to live for Christ, and we cannot live for Christ by ourselves. It is the power of the gospel that saved us. It is Christ, the power of the Godhead, that we can live through him, if you will, to be able to live the Christian life. In other words, you might not be able to forgive someone, but by the grace of God, you can forgive someone. You might not be able to love someone, but by the grace of God, you're able to love someone. I was telling somebody the other day, they came in with a hardship, and they said, preacher, I just don't know if I can forgive so-and-so. This person came in about a week ago, said, I just don't know if I can forgive so-and-so, and was having a run-in with his dad and whatnot. And I said, well, look, you know, you might not be able to forgive your dad, but can I tell you this? Here's what you can do. You can allow God to forgive through you your dad. See? Because your dad needs forgiveness whether you want to forgive him or not. But he needs to understand that you are somebody that walks with God enough that it's not a matter of you forgiving him. It's a matter of Christ forgiving him through you and your walk with God. If he could see that you're walking with God enough, it might bring him to Christ. You know, we can be living examples of God's grace in our life. It's by the grace of God we get saved. It's by the grace of God that we live. You say, well, so-and-so, they're not a perfect Christian. Can I tell you, dear friend, I have never met a perfect Christian. You know, but this is not a perfect church. It's because we don't have perfect Christians in this church. You say, but preacher, you know, I wish my mom and I wish my dad would be perfect. You will never have a perfect mom and dad this side of heaven. Now, when they get to heaven, they'll be perfect. But until then, don't put your expectations way up here, because every single time you do, you're going to be shot down and you're going to be left stranded. You know, there's only one perfect one. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So we understand this. We understand, as I would entitle the message this morning, a Father's Day wish. If I had a Father's Day wish for each dad that was in here, including myself, it would be that we understand and walk in the grace of God. After we get saved, as God has been so gracious to us, then I think also we ought to be gracious to other people. Now, you cannot be gracious to someone and separate that from grace. You can't do it, okay? They're going to be dovetailed together here. Let me give you some statements. Don't refuse God's grace. As a dad that's here today, if you have never experienced the grace of God, do not refuse God's grace. You know, oftentimes I would go and I would witness to my older brother, and I would give my brother a gospel tract. He'd tear it up, throw it back at me. I'd try and tell him about God. I'd try and tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd try and tell him how important it was that he received Christ as his Savior, and the cursings would come. But I remember the day that I heard about how his son had such an impression, Sean, on his life that it drew him to receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, wait a minute. It wasn't because Sean wasn't saved. Sean did get saved, and because of that, his dad, which is my brother, saw the grace of God in full operation. You know, can I tell you, God's grace will change a person. I've seen people that were harsh people. I've seen people that's been mean people. I've seen people that's been inconsiderate people. I've seen people that's been ingrates and not thankful for things that God is doing in their life. If you want God to change your family, can I tell you, you cannot change your family by turning over a new leaf every January 1. You've got to decide that you're going to allow God to bring the grace of God through Christ in your life, and that will change your family. What changes a family is not a man trying on the outside. It's a man that gets changed by the grace of God on the inside by receiving Christ as Savior. Now, the Bible says over in the book of Acts, chapter 15 and verse 11, the Bible says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. He said, we do believe that, hey, there is a way to save somebody, but how is that? That is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 5, the Bible says, even when we were dead in sins, the Bible says, hath quickened us together in Christ. By, it says, grace are you saved. I'm so glad that I don't have to work my way to heaven today. My Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm so glad this morning that you and I do not have to refuse the grace of God. I remember one time I was preaching at a Christian camp, and oh, I tell you, there was a girl that was at the Christian camp, and she was just as hard as nails, and I'd preach, and she would bristle. I mean, she would just bristle. I mean, I'd preach, and the harder I preached, the more she bristled. And then when I was preaching, she would not pay attention. She'd be talking to her little friend, and they'd be writing notes to each other, and they'd be laughing, and they'd be carrying on, and they were not listening to the Word of God. And when it came time for the invitation, it seemed like the more that I extended the gospel call for that a group to receive Christ, if they had not yet received Christ, boy, can I tell you, she just bristled. I remember her holding on to the pews. I've heard about people this way, never seen one before, but she'd hold on to the front of that pew. She would grab that thing. She'd wrap her fingers around the underneath of that pew, and she'd hold on so tight, her knuckles were turning white. I mean, she was just as mad as somebody could be. And I kept praying for her. I got some of the youth workers together that was there at that particular camp, and we fasted and we prayed several days for God to move in that camp. And I remember that one night where all of a sudden something happened. She was paying attention. Something happened. She was listening. Something happened. God moved in her life. She wasn't bristling anymore. And that night, she walked the aisle and she received Christ as Savior. And when she did, another person did, and another person did, and another person did, and another person did. And there's people getting saved until 1 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because somebody let the grace of God operate in their life. Somebody understood that, hey, I cannot save myself. Only God can save me. And I'm going to submit to you something this morning. There's nothing that's going to change America like the gospel of Jesus Christ. When a person understands their need of Christ, it's not who's in the White House that does matter. It's who's in the church house that's going to make a difference. But we've got to decide we're going to get people in the church house. We've got to decide we're not going to play church. We have to decide it's not just another religion. We have to decide that, hey, we need to make a difference. And the way we can make a difference is getting people underneath the pitch of the gospel so that they can understand their need of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and in verse 11, the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, it says, hath appeared, listen to it now, hath appeared, listen, hath appeared to all men. You know, can I tell you that all men can understand that which is the grace of God, especially if they have somebody that is going to be their mentor or have somebody that is going to be that soul winner, have somebody that would care enough to be able to give out that gospel to them. I'm saying a Father's Day wish that I would have for every dad under the pitch of my voice this morning or through internet or overseas or wherever you're listening from is this, is don't refuse the grace of God. Don't refuse the grace of God. You let God's grace work in you. You let God's grace work through you. But before you could ever do that, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And for by grace are you saved. And you can't do it any other way. The Bible says, if it be of works, it can be of no more grace in the book of Romans. And if it be of grace, it can be no more works. You cannot intermix the two. Person says, well, I'm going to receive Jesus Christ and be baptized so I can go to heaven. No, you won't. Person says, well, I'm going to try and keep the Ten Commandments and receive Jesus Christ to be able to go to heaven. No, you won't. Person says, well, I'm going to be a person that keeps the seven sacraments and receive Jesus Christ in order to go to heaven. No, you won't. No, the Bible says, Jesus is speaking, and he said, I am the way. He didn't say I'm one of the ways. He said, I am the way. He didn't say it's this way and this way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You only go to heaven through Jesus Christ. You can't get to heaven because you've been good. You can't get to heaven because you've been baptized. You can't get to heaven because you go to church. You cannot get to heaven because you have a religious mom or religious dad. You cannot get to heaven because you keep one of the seven sacraments or one of the Ten Commandments. It's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, he writes your name in the book of life. It's sealed unto the coming home of the saints, sealed unto that which is the day of redemption. Can I tell you that you and I, once we're saved forever. That's why our Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. It's not conditional. He that hath the Son and never sinneth, never said that. He that hath the Son and go to church, never said that. He that hath the Son and is baptized, it never said that. He that hath the Son and is a good neighbor, it never said that. No, when you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be able to go to heaven, not because of what you did, not because of the way that you believe, but because that you received Christ as your Savior. Now, may I say this morning, don't refuse the grace of God. Statement number next, don't abuse the grace of God. Some people say, well, you know, when I get saved, now I can do anything I want. I can do anything I want. I get saved and now I can I live my life the way I want to live my life. I get saved and go out and sin and party and get drunk and smoke dope and all those things and it doesn't matter. Oh, that's called abusing the grace of God. Don't abuse the grace of God. Let your testimony, let your light shine so that other people can see your light. Listen to it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now here, listen to it. God forbid, Romans chapter 6 and verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that being dead to sin live any longer therein? All right? So God says, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. In other words, once you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, you allow the grace of God to be seen in your life and through your life. You say, but preacher, I tell you what, I've always had a temper, And I go through temper flares, temper tantrums. I go through temper problems. I've always had a problem with temper, all right? Then here's what you do. Here's what you do. All of a sudden, because if you are saved, if you have received Christ by grace through faith, you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, can I tell you, you have all the power of the Godhead at your disposal. So what do? All of a sudden, when you're tempted to lose your temper, you pause and you say, dear God, please help me. You know, because you created me, I have a temper problem. And so God, would you please help me? Would you please guide me to say the right thing and not to say the wrong thing, and help me to control myself in this given situation? You know, you would be surprised at how God could help you. Yeah. If you just don't forget, I said this, that when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, now you're taking advantage of the grace of God. Don't refuse that. But also, don't be that person, if you will, please, that will be that individual that abuses the grace of God. Once you're saved by grace, you are supposed to live by grace. And by the way, listen to me. You know what people are looking for today? They're looking for real, live Christianity. That's what they're looking for. That's what they're looking for. You know, anybody can get mad. You ever sit back and watch somebody blow their top? You ever do that? You ever do that? You ever sit back like I do and watch somebody blow their top and I think, oh, how foolish that is? You ever do that? I've watched people blow their top and I'll just stand back and I'll just go, oh my. You know how immature that is. Now, can I tell you, listen to me, I'm saying this, you be an individual that decides that you will not be able to be that one that abuses the grace of God. Don't abuse it. Oh, it'd be nice for you to learn some Christian songs. I said it'd be nice if you learned some Christian songs. And instead of singing the rock and roll stuff, why don't you walk into the supermarket somewhere and sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. Oh, you say, well, that's such an old fogey type of song. All right, then pick one that is maybe something you heard one of these groups that sung in our church or something like that. But sing Christian music. Sing music about the grace. Make it up. That's what I do. I walk down the hallway all the time singing about the grace of God, and somebody asked me the other day, they said, preacher, I've never heard that song before. I said, that's because it's new. They said, what do you mean it's new? I said, I wrote it. Oh, they said, you wrote it. When did you write it? Just now. Now make it up as you go. You say, well, you know, what if it's not scriptural? It's probably more scriptural than what you're singing right now. Make it up as you go. And just sing about the grace of God. Well, the grace of God is good to me. The grace of God is good to me. The grace of God is good to me. Thank God for the grace of God. Oh, you say that was horrible. Oh, I didn't say it was going to be pretty. But it gets you thinking about the grace of God. You know, and you can take and think about the grace. And by the way, what you think is what eventually others are going to hear. You ever hear a good joke? You ever hear a good joke? And then you told it? Well, it wasn't good because you told it. It was good before you got to it. All you did was repeat it. That's all you did. You just repeated it. Now, I'm saying this. You can take and be that individual that just decides that you're going to talk about the grace of God. Just talk about the grace of God. You know, this girl, she showed up at church. I sent this to some of you. And a girl showed up at church, and she said, oh, preacher, she said, I tell you, she said, I've sinned. Oh, she said, I'm so sorry. She said, I realize I'm the prettiest girl in the church. And people look at me all the time, she said, and I'm so sorry. I just feel like I'm sinning because of the fact that I'm just so pretty. And everybody's always looking at me, the girl said. And she said, I'm just so sorry. She said, I'm probably causing everybody else to sin too. Oh, preacher said, you don't need to worry about that. That's not a sin. That's a mistake. Well, it was good when I heard it, that's for sure. I think I did better texting it than writing it or than talking about it. I said, now, don't refuse the grace of God. Don't refuse. Don't abuse the grace of God. Let your kids see God's grace operating in you. Amen. Be thankful for what God did. Amen. Be thankful. In other words, when all of a sudden, you know, a calamity comes your way and you don't die over it. You know, tell your kids, tell your wife, tell your husband. Say, honey, it's by the grace of God that we're able to see it this way. Always talk about His grace. You say, well, that's not normal. It should be. It should be. You know, I'm saying this. Don't refuse the grace of God. Statement number next. Don't abuse the grace of God. You ready? Don't confuse the grace of God. Don't get it confused. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 7, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yes. Now, don't confuse it. Okay? You know, if you obey God, God blesses you. Don't confuse it and say, well, I tell you what, it was by the work of my hands. It was by the power of my brain. It was because of my friends. It was because that my personality is just so outstanding. I mean, it's so balanced. It's just unreal. You know? No. First off, can I tell you that God is the one that even gave you the breath to breathe today? Amen. Don't be so high. Don't go look in the mirror and say, boy, I'm God's gift to humanity. Oh, quit it. God's going to put a scar on your face. You're going to lose your hair. You're going to lose your teeth. Your nose is going to get punched and it's going to grow crooked. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying don't confuse the grace of God. You let God be God in your life and understand that God is merciful and God is kind and God is long-suffering and God is patient and God is gracious. And don't confuse the grace of God, comparatively speaking, with your personal characteristics. You know, God is the one that made you. You're created in the very image of God. Don't take it upon yourself to be able to take the if you would please, the glory of the way that God made you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, the Bible says, for whom God loveth, he chasteneth. And the Bible says, scorneth, the Bible says, every son whom he receiveth. So he's going to scourge that person. There's going to be that which is a scourge here. There's going to be a punishment, if you would please. What he's going to do is he's going to show that, hey, listen, I am still your creator. You ever do this? You ever decide that, okay, boy, I tell you what, you might get this idea and you write something or maybe you sing something or maybe you do something and you ever, boy, I tell you what, I am good. Don't ever get there. Don't ever, a basketball player, boy, I tell you what, look how good I am. Don't ever get there. Baseball player, look how good I am. Soccer player, don't ever get there. You decide that you give God all the glory for all and talk to him. And by the way, you'll draw more people to Christ by your talk just because they don't know your walk. Those that are close to you know your walk. But people that you meet in the grocery store, people that you meet at the bank, people that you meet down at some other type of department, they don't know you. So you can be a witness to them. You can be a testimony to them just by the words that you speak. That's why I say put more Christianity in your words than what you have in there. You know, somebody could stand up. And all of a sudden, you know, I said, man, I found this deal, and I'm getting ready to cash out at the cash register, and he's the guy. And so, man, I found this deal. I'm just so thankful that God allowed me to find this deal. Boy, isn't God good? Isn't that neat? Now, I don't know him from Adam. I mean, he may be a scorner. I have no idea who he is. But to me, I don't care. It don't matter to me. I'm going to push the grace of God his way, whether he likes it or not. You know, come on, everybody else is pushing stuff. Why don't you push Christ? Amen. You know, I mean, they're pushing their agenda about this, their agenda about that. I think somebody ought to stand up for God somewhere. Amen. Well, just go ahead and start pushing it. But yeah, isn't God good? Yeah, all right. And he's not happy about it. He's never been happy about it. No, I'm kidding. But you know, he's not happy about it. All right, now, wait a minute. And I said, man, he truly is. Man, God is just so good. Let me tell you what God did for me. I was able to get up and go to church today. Did you go to church?
No.
Oh, man, I tell you, you ought to come to our church. You know, yeah, you'll like our church. It's a Bible-preaching church. It's a good church. We got good music and stuff like that. Boy, I tell you, God, now, you know, here he is, boy, it's just so good. I tell you what, God has been so good. God's blessed my family there, okay? Now, he's running one direction, but I'm not going to let that discourage me. You said, sounds like you're going to get the last word in. I'm going to get the last word in. All right, because I want him to hear about the grace of God. I was down here, thank you, be seated, before you ruin my sermon. And I was down here at the Subway just the other day, and I walked in, and I said, boy, I tell you what, it's a hot day outside, but I'm so glad I'm saved because it sure be a whole lot hotter in hell. That lady looked at me like, I mean, it's like she's taking a back seat, you know. She said, what'd you say? I said, you want me to repeat it? She said, I'm not sure I heard you right. I said, well, I said, it sure is hot outside, but it's going to be a whole lot hotter in hell. And she said, I never thought about that. I said, where are you going to go? When you die, where are you going to go? She said, I don't want to go there. See, your words can be a witness. Your words can be a witness. I'm saying this. I'm saying this morning, understand this. We need to be a people that does not confuse the grace of God. Boy, I remember the day I wasn't always a believer. I remember the day that I was trying to work my way to heaven. I mean, I attended the Latin-speaking masses on Sunday nights, and I did my best to learn some Latin so that I would not look absolutely ridiculous. And I performed my task. Then I go to the English-speaking masses on Sunday morning, and I had understand the English. I did all right. And so, but I did my duty and whatnot, but I was really trying to work my way, man. I was just trying to work my way, That's what I wanted to do. I mean, if anybody's going to work their way to heaven, it's going to be this guy. You know, never smoked, never drank, never did stuff like that. I mean, didn't steal. I mean, I was trying to work my way. I mean, you know, if anybody could get to heaven by good works, it was going to be this guy. And then when David Lee met me and showed me what the Bible said, and I realized that God is true and every man's a liar, and I understood I needed the Savior as my personal Savior, here's what happened. When I received Christ as my Savior, he put into action the very grace of God in my life. And then all of a sudden, I started seeing things different. I started becoming more patient with people. I was not patient with people when I was coming up as a young man. I was very impatient. But I started being patient with people. I started working with people. I started practicing Bible truth that I understood and that God was bringing in my life. I'm saying this, don't refuse the grace of God. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you'll have opportunity to be able to receive Jesus Christ by faith through grace. You can understand this. Don't abuse the grace of God. Don't confuse the grace of God. Let me give you this, and I'm done. And that is, don't fail to use the grace of God. Don't fail to use the grace of God. In your life, don't fail to use it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, and let us therefore, it says, come boldly onto the throne of grace. Come boldly to him. It's a throne of grace. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take God your small problems as well as your big problems. Don't be afraid to trust God for your little problems as well as your major problems. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid to pray for the little things as well as the overwhelming things. By the way, listen to me. If you start to pray about everything and you start to take God, even the little matters, it becomes easier to trust him with the bigger matters. Yeah. If you learn to trust him with the little matters. We trained our children when they were just small little fellows and small little girl. And we trained them to trust the parent. Now, to trust the Lord too, but to trust the parent, and to trust the Lord. Now, can I tell you, because of that, we can help them make decisions in their life even as they're older, and most of them are married, and they're going to listen to the decisions that we tell them they need to make in their life. Now, why? I'm going to tell you why. Because it started way back here. And then we walked beside them as they grew. And in Jared's case, as they grew, we walked beside them. So now we have taught them to trust for the small things. Trust for the small things. Trust for the small things. Trust. Stay with me. Hey, listen, just because you're Bible college age doesn't mean you ought to shut your parents out. Just because now you've gotten married doesn't mean you ought to turn a deaf ear to mom and dad.
Right.
They've already been down the road that you're walking down right now. They already know a whole lot more than what you know right now. I'm saying this. I'm saying don't fail to use the grace of God. He says to come, he says, let us come boldly onto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've had to go to the dentist, and I go to the dentist, and I don't know if we have any dentists here this morning, and if you are, God bless you, and thank you for what you do. But it's not really a comfortable thing I like doing. It's just not. It's just not. And I've learned not to stress over that. But it's taken me a long time to learn not to stress over that. I mean, it's taken me a long time not to stress over that. And I remember one time it was in the Philippines, and I had a bad tooth, and he gave me some shots, and you know, he started drilling in there, and I'm not trying to make you weak, queasy, but he started drilling in there, and he said, "Now raise your hand if it hurts." Well, you know, my brain wasn't raise the hand if it hurts. My brain is squeeze that chair if it hurts. And I think that I reduced the padding in that chair. Because, I mean, he started, and I'm like, He says, "Does it hurt?" And I said, You know, and then he'd shoot it again. He said, but I don't know why. He was just giving me a little bit of stuff. Why didn't he put the whole gallon in there? And I wouldn't have to, you know. But, man, he started shooting me again. It's like, he said, "Now I'm getting closer to the nerve." I'm like, Now, my mouth was open. It was like, "I don't want to know that." You ever see people and they have surgery? And I don't know if Brother Crutcher, on your, the cancer it's on you, I don't know if you had, if you watched it or whatever, but I don't, maybe you're that type. I don't know. But, you know, years ago I had a tumor here and it kept coming back over and over. They had to cut it, I think, three times. Like, I had a tumor here. And every time it would grow to a certain, you know, bigness, it would make my thumb go numb. So I remember having that thing cut on. The doctor would say, "Now, look, I'm going to shoot around here like they did to you, I'm sure. I'm going to shoot around here, and you won't feel a thing. Would you like to watch it as I do it?" And I would say, No. I would make a very poor surgeon. Because if I was operating on you, I would say, "Give me the blindfold." You said, "Well, what about the grace of God?" You pray for me. Don't fail to use the grace of God. When it is time to use the grace of God in your life, you let God be the one that helps you to be able to use that grace. And sometimes you do. I'm just being honest. But sometimes you do. You have to back away. You have to back away. You get in a car wreck. You don't react. You back away. You think. You calm down. You pray. Say, "God, give me wisdom. Need to know what to do. Just give me some wisdom." You know, somebody gets mad at you and all of a sudden they start to shout at you. Hey, look, we'll talk when you can calm down a little bit. Let's go ahead and pray. I'm going to ask God to help you. I'm going to ask God to give me some wisdom. We'll get back together. You know, learn to operate in the grace of God. Learn to let God use you in operating in that grace. Here it is. I'm done. Give other people grace as they're different than you are. All right, so let's say that brother, now he's very compassionate. Stand up. He's very compassionate. I can't wait till we partner on some stuff here in the church. Very compassionate man. But let's say he's not. Let's say that he's not. Let's say he's very short. Let's say that he doesn't give people the time of day. Let's say that, you know, he thinks he knows everything and he won't let you speak your piece because, after all, he knows his way is better. You know, kind of cocky, kind of arrogant, kind of immature. Okay, and so here he is, you know, I'm trying to explain something to him, and he says, "No, that's not the way we ought to do it. We ought to do it this way," and you know, he's just not letting me get my piece out or anybody else, and so then wonders how come nobody goes to him for advice or whatnot. Now, what am I going to do? I am going to allow God's grace to try and help him. And from time to time, I'm going to pull him aside and I'm going to say, let me teach you some things. Let me help you a little bit. Let me mold you into the person that you ought to become so that you can help others better with your life. You see, now you do the same thing with your children. Thank you, be seated. You do the same thing with friends. Now the Bible says, here, I'm done. The Bible says that iron sharpeneth iron, so the countenance of a friend. You know, if you have a friend, you ought to be able to sharpen them without them getting upset. You ought to be able to say, you know, hey, I don't know if I do that or not. That might be detrimental to you. That might be something you need to really pray about before you dive into it, because it could be very costly to you. You know, friends God can use to be, by the way, the preacher God can use. Oh, man, I can't believe he preached that. But did you need that? Yeah, but I didn't expect you to say it. Sometimes God will use the preacher to be able to guide you in certain directions that you should not go. You know, in a car wreck, here's what happens. You're driving the car and all of a sudden get in a car wreck. Police officer comes up to you, but he don't only go to you. Here's what he does. He goes to the person standing around the accident, say, well, how did you see it? Was you here when the accident collision took place? Yeah, I was. What did you see? Because sometimes the person's in the driver's seat have blind spots. My wife and I, we were traveling somewhere together. I don't know where it was. It was recently. I don't know where it was, but we traveled together. And so I don't know if I was speaking somewhere or what, but I was coming back from a speaking engagement or something. Anyway, she picked me up at the airport, and I'm coming back. And, man, I did not see this guy. This guy went right about, hit my blind spot. But if I hadn't swerved over this way, he would have hit me. The problem was when I swerved over this way, there was another car that was over there. Now, it could have been a really bad problem. And so I swerved over and swerved right back as quick as I could. And, you know, my wife is like, I mean, she was beyond speech. I mean, it was one of those times, you know, she's beyond speech. It wasn't like, forget it. She didn't have time for that. It was, you know, and that was about it. And so, all right. But what I'm saying is, it was by the grace of God. I did not see the guy, however, but it was by the grace of God. We didn't get in an accident, didn't even cause an accident, you know. But I didn't see him because he's in my blind spot. And sometimes God will send people in your life that will help you, because you can't see things that's in your blind sight. And they help you to guide you. Now, at that time when it happens in your life, you be sure to let the grace of God set in. And you let God help. Father, bless, we do pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.